Just one quick second. Thanks a million for being such a great crowd. I didn't come up through the Frank Sinatra age. I think Frank is one of the greatest. I missed the Sinatra era. I was right in the middle of the Elvis Presley era, but I have never in my life seen anything like You Know Who. On behalf of all of the State Fair Board and all the good guys in WIFB, may I present
the Extra Mile Podcast. Welcome to the Extra Mile Podcast. In this podcast, we follow the progress of fellow runners across the globe as they train for 5Ks, 10Ks, half or full marathons. Visit our website at www.theextramilepodcast.com and send us your email or audio files at theextramilepodcast@gmail.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 141 of the Extra Mile Podcast. How is everyone? This is obviously your host Kevin, and I'm out this morning on a perfect and gorgeous Sunday morning. Probably about 11 o'clock, I think. I've already had my morning trip to Starbucks and my venti bold, so I'm all raring to go. Not a cloud in the sky. Somewhere around 62 degrees. The trees here in Cincinnati are probably a third of the way turning, I guess. Still a little early from the peak of what these trees are going to look like soon, but certainly enough eye candy everywhere to be amazed at Mother Nature. So what's been going on with me? Let's see. Training's going pretty well. This weather, it just makes for a lot better runs, right? I mean, I am failing miserably at my every other day thing. Excuse me, I got a tickle in my throat. Probably running 5 days a week. So far, I've not done more than 3 days in a row without taking a day off. But it's just really hard when this weather is so beautiful and I can head outside and feel so darn good. The pace is picking up only a tad, completely weather related. My runs, like 5.5 mile runs lately. That's the other thing I've added, few tenths onto my run. But anyway, the pace has fallen from, I don't know, probably 12.5 minute miles to just under 12 minutes. I think yesterday I did almost a 6 miler and my pace was 11:55. So I'm certain that some variation of that story is going on in all of your running lives. still shooting for the Jeff Galloway 13.5 in December. So my training is obviously centered around that race. And I did an 8-miler a week ago. That worked out really well. Slowed the pace down, increased the ratio. I've been doing a 2-minute run, 30-second walk. And I think on that long run, I did a, I think a 1-minute run and a 30-second walk. Pretty sure. So this weekend, I have a 9.5-miler. And honestly, you know what's the hardest part? It's the mental part. I think I said this on one of my Kevin Unplugged episodes, but it's kind of hard on me mentally to be out there like, oh gosh, that's only 5 miles. Oh gosh, I still got 2 miles to go or whatever. You know what I mean? Now, podcasts helped me a lot, but I made a rookie mistake and just didn't have a lot to listen to during that particular run. I won't make that mistake this week. I'll save some good stuff. And if you're a podcaster, it's my way of asking you to put something out there by this weekend. Hi there. What else? I have a big week coming up. Not so much running related, but there are certainly some connections. On Tuesday of this week, I head to Columbus, Ohio to see Paul McCartney in concert. I'm really pumped about that. And I'd be excited if I were going alone, but I'm not. And I'm pretty excited about my date. My wife, the Energizer Bunny, realizes how much this means to me and has agreed to go anytime Mr. McCartney is anywhere close to Cincinnati. But the fact is, she's not a McCartney nut or a Beatles nut like her husband is. So I asked one of my sons to go with me. I actually asked both of them. I have one son who's in the Air Force and has a trip coming up. Originally, he thought he wasn't leaving until next Friday, so it was going to be me and him and his twin brother. Pretty pumped about that, but they moved his trip up, his Air Force trip. He's got to head to Europe for a while. So at this point, it's just me and one son. Now, you all probably have to look pretty hard to find any sort of connection at all to running. I really don't. And here's what I mean. I've said a million times to many of you, when you give me your race updates about how you're running a marathon or a half or even a fun run with one of your kids, about how it's all about making those memories. Well, I'm pretty certain that if you were to ask any of my children for three things that describes their father, they would be these three. Most certainly. Number one, he loves to run. These kids have seen their father lace them up and head out the door probably 80% of every day they've been alive. Number two, they would say, I love the Buckeyes, because for their entire lives, for 12 or 13 Saturdays in the fall, they know that life pretty much grinds to a halt on the Saturday afternoons while Dad watches the Buckeyes. And thirdly, Dad is a complete weird Beatles nut, to the point he named one of his children after his favorite Beatle. So, when I tell you that I'm taking one of my sons to a McCartney concert, what that really means is I'm going to make a memory, at least in my own head, that I will hopefully take to heaven with me one day. And I'm pretty sure that I'm making one for him as well. I'm pretty pumped about that. And at the end of the week, I'm heading back to Columbus for a surprise party for my older sister, who will turn the big 6-0. So, big week for me. I gotta figure out how to fit that 9.5 miler in on Friday before I head to Columbus. Spend the afternoon and evening with some of my other kids and grandkids and sister and niece. And for those of you who are completely bored about my personal life, I would recommend you not check out my Facebook page for this week. What else? I'm heading to Disney. Did I tell you that? Yeah. In a few short weeks, I'll be heading to Walt Disney World. So, if any of you are friends of mine on Fitbit, I would recommend you not challenge me to any of those Fitbit challenges for that week, because as you know, man, do you do a lot of walking at Disney World. That's one of those vacations where I have an awesome time and then I have to come home and rest from vacation. Anyway, enough blabbering about me. Dang, you can tell that I'm kind of excited because I don't think I usually blabber that much about me at the beginning of this podcast. So, all right, enough. Some really, really good race reports, as you would expect for this time of year. And some life reports as well. So let's check out the good stuff, and I'll be quiet and listen along with you guys, and we'll chat a little bit at the end. Y'all enjoy your extra mile.
Hi, Kevin, all you extra milers. This is Nate Wagner from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, reporting in about Bird in Hand Half Marathon. I think you guys probably know that this training season has, well, let's just say it hasn't gone according to plan. But I decided that, you know what, even though we added an additional person to my family and that I just did not get out to run as much, that I still would run the Bird in Hand Half. This would be my third time running this race, and I just love it. Each and every one of you guys and gals have got to come to Lancaster County to see Dwayne and I. Dwayne did not run the race, but he did stop by and we chatted for a little bit. He met my beautiful wife, and it was a great weekend. I decided, because I was not going for a personal record this time, that I would take my wife up on the idea of camping the night before. Note to self, if camping before a half marathon, do not go for a PR. It was hard, but we had a good time without the kids, and that was good times. And it was just a really great weekend. The weather was great, so much better than last year. But I do need to back up a moment, because our friend Chris Twiggs, I sent him a message. And I said, I just don't know how I'm going to do this race. I am not trained. I've gone up to about 5 miles, but I'm just not trained. And he said that I should walk 9 and run walk with a 30-30 the rest. So I did that 2 weeks out, as he suggested. Felt great after. Didn't even feel like I had done a half marathon. And so that was awesome. And then I went ahead and did 8 miles the next week, 4 miles of walking and 4 miles of run walking, 30-30 with a friend. Decided to do that. Chris didn't say anything specific about that. So I get to the race, feeling good, knowing that it's just going to be a fun race and not trying to get any personal records or anything. So my goal back in the back of my mind, and I verbalized it, was I was hoping to get under 3 hours, even though I walked a good bit of the race. Well, that didn't happen. What we did was we walked all the first 8 miles, except for we did run downhill. And that was great because my friend's dad was there and he was walking. And so he was walking a little faster than us. So we were able to pass him a little bit here and there. And then I told my friend, I said, once we start run walking, we won't see him till the finish line. And sure enough, I was right. Well, here's the deal, guys and gals, that I just felt absolutely incredible afterwards. I didn't run very much that next week, but it wasn't because I couldn't, because of my legs. It was just time-wise. So there's something to this run-walk stuff. So I would just recommend you take a look at it and give it a good shot. And I'm just so grateful for Kevin and connecting me to Chris Twiggs, and just being able to also be encouraged by Dr. Amanda and just all my other running buddies. So that's what I got for today. Thanks, and enjoy your extra mile. Nate from Harrisburg. Have a good one.
Hey, Kevin and Extra Milers. This is Tricia from St. Louis, and I should probably preface that the long absent Tricia from St. Louis. Apologies, family, working full-time, and my latest goal of going for Marathon Maniacs, or in other words, 3 marathons in 90 days, has had me just kind of completely focused on trying to balance all those balls in the air, basically. But I wanted to do a race recap of my first qualifying race that was Labor Day weekend, and I just got off the latest Extra Mile podcast, and I heard a lot of appeals for some of the people that used to dial in and give race reports to call in, and so I started to have lots of extra miler guilt here about not having done that. But my recap was of the Fenton Flatlanders race, and this was a 6-hour or 12-hour option race. I was the 6-hour. And I had just hired, Chris Twiggs to do the customized Galloway training program, and I had signed up for all of that. And so he was not with me through the training for this, but I was using the Galloway plan. And so with a 6-hour race, he advised that I not go too much over the 26.2. Well, as it turns out, our race started at 79 degrees at 7:30. It was extremely humid, and the temperatures rose quickly. Literally, the forecast was for 95 degrees, and I have to say, I have never not looked forward to a run or a race so much in my life, and I knew that this was probably going to be mentally one of the toughest races and runs, just a training run that I had ever done, because I was kind of looking at it as a training run for Chicago. So we all set out on this 1.4-mile loop, and I decided to get some miles done while it was a little bit nicer. And I know we don't bank time typically, but 11:30s were pretty easy for me to kick out in the first 3 to 4. After that, I quickly slowed my pace as the sun was coming out more strongly and things were becoming more and more unpleasant. In prepping for this race, not only did I look at mentally like mental toughness tricks, but I got some advice from ultra runners who told me all about the tricks of putting ice down the sports bra, rubbing it all over your arms and legs, and every time I passed by what I affectionately call my pit crew, my husband and son on the loop, they had things ready for me. I could toss a water bottle at them, and they tossed me one back. They iced down my cooling towel for me. I have never done this long of a run in these conditions, so I mentally really had to get my head in the game. Mile 12, I was just like, how in the world am I going to finish this run? My husband was able to join me on this open course at mile 13 and 14, and this was definitely the most brutal part of the race. Temperatures were in the high 80s, low 90s at this point with full sun. I remember just being really mad. We were running along, and I lost one of my earbuds. And it was funny. It's like I could tell I was starting to get irritable, which is never a good sign. You really were challenged to keep up with the hydration, to drink enough water. And so my husband gave up his own earbuds for me, and they worked great. So basically, I ended up doing, you know, we were running along, and my husband was helping me to run the numbers for me, and I figured out that I could move my run-walk ratio from a 20-20 to a 20-40 on every segment, which was a huge godsend, because at this point when it was so hot, even the 20-second running pieces were becoming a huge effort in the heat. Finally, in the last lap, I said to my husband, this is the victory lap, this is it. And I was going to just, you know, do 20-40s. And once I had my 26.2 in, I just did a long walk for the remainder of the time that I had left, which is give or take about 20 minutes. And we had to do out and backs, which were measured for us to mark off the last 20 minutes of the race. I was never so glad to be done with a run in my life. I truly learned in this race that the mind controls the body. This was not like a normal race where you're enjoying things, you love running. I had a mantra going in saying that it's a beautiful day and I'm doing what I love, even though we had these kind of conditions. And my first marathon last year was 25 degrees cooler. And so in the end, with 25 degrees higher, I only slowed my marathon pace on this run by 13 minutes. I was very happy with that once I could actually think and process when it was all over what had happened. I did almost 28 miles, which was a personal distance record for me and the hottest long run of my entire seven-year history of running. I would really love for them to start this race at 6 a.m. St. Louis is a completely just a crapshoot in terms of weather and what you're going to get. And I so felt for the 12-hour runners who had another 6 hours to go, and they were all walking what looked like a death march when we left the park. So I think everyone was fine, and there were no heat problems. But, boy, I hope they had medical on staff there because it was a little bit dangerous. Recovery has been great. I am now with Chris working on his customized plan, and I'm just 3 weeks out from Chicago. So my guess is by the time that you hear this, I may either be running Chicago or about to run Chicago or just have run Chicago, and I will try to do a race report as well. Again, Galloway method, saving my life in this. I think run-walk keeps the heart rate under control, keeps the muscle and cramping under control. I didn't have any of that. Recovery's been amazing. I had a massage on the third day, and by the fourth day after, I had almost no soreness at all. Yesterday, I did a 12-miler, and I'm kind of back into my normal routine until we get to Chicago. So, again, thanks for listening this long. Looking forward to getting the second race done for Maniacs and joining Derek and all the other extra milers that are Marathon Maniacs, and I will talk to you soon. Thanks.
Well, hey there, Kevin, and all you extra milers. This is Jim from South Central Pennsylvania, out for a early morning Saturday run here on September the 26th. It's a gorgeous, cool 50 degrees. Got probably mostly cloudy skies, so it shouldn't warm up too fast this morning, which is good. And I thought I would send you a race report. So, last weekend, my wife and I did the annual Nun Run 5K in Reading, Pennsylvania, which is about an hour east and north of where I live. So, a little bit of travel to get to it, but it supports a missionary group of nuns, and this is like their big fundraiser for the year. And on top of that, they have a really cool bake sale. So after we're done running, we make our way over to the bake sale tent, buy a bunch of goodies to take home. And generally speaking, you know, we bring the goodies home, and then on Monday, we bring the goodies to work and share them. But this year, we got some cookies. We got 40 in all. And, well, we meant to bring them to work, but gosh darn it, they were just really fantastic cookies. So, yeah, they got eaten. Still goes to a good cause, though. So, the other thing that's neat about this race is when you're done, they have some of the traditional standards like bananas and stuff for you when you're done, but they actually have an entire area, which is nothing but little cups of pasta salad. Well, let me tell you something. The saltiness that comes out of an olive in a pasta salad after a run where it was muggy, humid, so you sweat a little bit. Man, that tastes fantastic. Really, really good stuff. I wasn't going to be competitive, so I had just set a goal that I want to be faster than this amount of time, and I was. That's all I was going for. It's a fairly hilly course. I actually had a friend of mine, fellow submitter to this podcast, David, from southeastern Massachusetts, mentioned that he thought that this course looked like a roller coaster. And he's pretty much right there. It's up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. And then do another loop. Up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. So, it does take a little out of you. Kind of like this hill I'm going up. So, but it was super, super fun. And they tend to always get good weather. So, there you go. So that's my race report. I don't suspect I'll have another one until after December the 13th, which is the day for the 13.1 with Jeff Galloway. And hopefully with many of you. So until then, take care. And you all enjoy your extra mile.
Hello, Kevin and the extra mile people. This is an early September submission to your illustrious show. I have really been enjoying everybody's submissions lately. It's almost impossible to keep the shows less than an hour. It's just so good. There's so much good stuff. Anyway, so I'm enjoying the fall season here in Victoria, running a lot, pretty much running every day, enjoying the fact that I have no races on my calendar. Hi. Yep, those are the local hard sleepers, rough sleepers, they're called. I learned that yesterday. Rough sleepers are people who are homeless. I think what happened recently is that the checks came in, so they all had money. I'm going to pause this till after the traffic. Okay, I got the light. I also have maybe an apology to make, because I was running with Derek just now and I had my wind filter on my device, and I stopped recording with Derek and I thought, oh, I might as well record a submission for my friend Kevin. Off came the wind filter and I did not put it back on. So, as I say, if you hear a lot of swish, 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 it's me swinging my recorder in the wind. So I'm just running through the vehicle testing center where they issue motorcycle and car driving licenses. I've been running for about an hour and maybe 15. I started off with a 4.8, and then a 6, and then another 4.8. Okay, so cut this short, around about here. Ah, that's right. I started recording this run when I met Derek. Alright, so this is the running jackal signing off.
Hey, extra milers, how's everybody doing? You ready for a couple race reports? I hope so. This is the time of year we should be hearing a lot of race reports from people. I say a couple because I had the opportunity to run in 2 half marathons in 8 days. So I'm excited to share that with you. I'm sitting on my deck here. I can't believe how beautiful the sunset looks. So I'm going to have that treat while I'm sharing with you. But anyway, today's October 4th, but I want to take you back to September 27th, a week earlier on Sunday morning. In Ocean City, New Jersey, I got to run my first event since last October. And so I was a little bit nervous, but really thrilled to be doing it. The Ocean City Half Marathon in Ocean City, New Jersey. I know Kevin's been sort of anxiously awaiting to hear how that was. Okay, overall, great event. I want to tell you, my training going in was pretty good. I would say moderately well-trained for the race. I ran about 3 to 4 days a week with a little bit of cross-training. I did no body work. My speed work that I did to prepare for that distance was, it was okay. I did a little bit of tempo runs and some intervals, but not very consistently. But I felt pretty good the day of the race. I woke up, we were on vacation, and so it was really neat. We already had the vacation planned, and then I scheduled the half marathon. I found out that we were having one just a few blocks down from where I was going to be staying. And had I not heard about it and got up and went out for breakfast with the guys we were out there with and seen people running in a half marathon, I'd been very depressed. So I'm glad I found out about it and was able to be part of it. Gorgeous, gorgeous run, because what they do is they take you out from the boardwalk where it starts, heading due west and back over the a bay, partway over the bridge that goes and spans a bay. So it's a beautiful view. There was a hill built into the bridge to allow ships to pass underneath. So there was this instant climb and descent right at the start of the race. And we went in about 2 miles across a mile into the bridge, and then turn around and a mile back out, and had to hit that hill again. It was a little further than that, actually. But anyway, then the rest of it was a loop around the island and down the boardwalk and back up the boardwalk again to a finish line right at a music pier at Ocean City, New Jersey. And it was just a great run. And I'll just tell, here's what I'll say about the report. The day before the race were 25 to 35 mile an hour winds. So it was going to calm down a little bit for race day, but they weren't calling for it to calm down much. More like about 15 to 20 mile an hour winds for race day. So I sort of factored in And I love planning out the details of my race. I think it's good to have a plan and to try to execute it. And I used my Garmin very nicely to do so. I planned sections of the race where I'd be heading into the wind to run slower pace per mile than when I'm running with the wind. And also I've planned in fatigue for the latter part of the race, and all that's just very general information. Basically, I went out harder than I expected to, which is not uncommon, I guess. As we do these events, we get the adrenaline going and we feel good in the beginning, so we just go with it. And it was just, you know, what I ended up figuring out. I had the planned pace to hit my goal, which was, my goal was to finish at 152. Okay, that was when I added up all the paces I thought I could run with the weather conditions and the hill, and my training, I thought I can run a 152 half marathon, and that's pushing it at the end too. So I programmed that into my watch. As my virtual runner, he was a little guy that ran a constant 8:35 pace. And so I either lag behind him or run ahead of him. Well, I got off to a good start, and I was ahead of him pretty quickly off the bat. Instead of running 9-minute miles for the first 3 miles, I ran anywhere from 8 to 8:20-minute miles the first 3 miles. But really, I did so without much apprehension, because I figured I'm going to feel how my body feels, and I'm going to let that determine. If I can sustain this pace for 13 miles, I'm going to start here. I'm going to start with that, and I'm going to trust it. And I went out of my plan, because I figured if I can finish faster, I'm going to try to do so. And pretty much throughout the whole race, I was a little bit ahead of what I had planned, and I banked about 7 minutes up to around the 8-mile mark. And then the fatigue set in, and the last 3 miles of the race was back into the wind and down the boardwalk. And that was harder to stay ahead of my pre-planned pace. But overall, I finished strong. And it was cool to have family and friends there. My wife was there and some friends that were vacationing with us who never get to see me run. And my wife hardly does too. We have a son that has a disability. So I go out on my own, you know, when she stays home and vice versa for things. And so it was just nice to have her there. She took a nice picture and they got around different parts of the course to cheer me on. But I was able to finish strong. And I say that because, it was miserable, as I felt like I wanted it to be, because I wanted to push my hardest, you know, and I was able to mentally just stay true. And you know, when I think back on it, that last mile and a half, when I'm looking up at the music pier in the distance and think, "Are you kidding me? I'm going to have to run that far." I that time when I look back, just went very fast. In the moment, it seems long, but I found a way to get into a zone, and I even in the moment, I mean, I was surprised that I just got to that end and it was over. And so I was real pleased with that. So I did finish at 147 and change. So I'm 5 minutes faster than I predicted. Okay, that's the Ocean City half marathon. So I do recommend it. And listen, if anybody was in that race and listens to this, I can't imagine that out of the 1,100 people that finished that race that there's not a few that are listening to this podcast. Chime in, send in a report. Let me know, or let us know how you felt about the race and what you thought about it. And correct me if there's anything I misrepresented. How's that? All right, so skip to today, the Octo Half Marathon. I guess it's named because it was in October that we ran it. I don't know. But there's a bit of a harvesty theme to the medal and to some of the you know, the design of the setup there at the race. Now, this was in Hatfield, Pennsylvania. This is over near a guy named Steve in Quakertown, who I haven't heard from really in a while. He's a blogger from Eastern Pennsylvania. It's not far from where he's at. He may have even been running in the race. And again, I'd like to hear from Steve if he was in the race. But this was in my hometown. This is right where I grew up. This is literally 2 miles from where my childhood home. And it's an inaugural event. The Octo Half. So the last day of registration, in fact, it was over. I went on Saturday to the expo and I registered for the race and they still let me in. So it hadn't sold out. So I was lucky and I just stayed with my parents overnight and then was able to get to the race quick in the morning. So all that worked out good. I felt good from last week. I recovered nicely. I only ran one time and that was this Friday. So I swam on Monday, a good deal. And then I did nothing until Friday because of scheduling issues. So I was a little concerned about how I'd feel on the run. But once the run started, here's the other thing I did differently. I don't wear earbuds and listen to music when I run the longer distance events. I like to just experience the people and the crowd support and the environment. And I've really very comfortable running without music. Well, this one was different. When I checked the course out, I looked at it and I thought, what is this all about? It was strictly through residential neighborhoods, nice homes, but I mean, it was almost entirely running through a residential neighborhoods. And it was a lot of turns and a lot of randomness to it, it felt to me. But it's the only option. If they're going to have one there, that's all they really had an option for. It was well secured by the police, and I mean, there was no ambiguity about where you're turning and all. It just, if I had to focus, I mean, it was not the kind of setting that I would have felt comfortable running without. In fact, I loved that I put music on. It's the first time I ran a big event with music, and it was great for me. Now, the cool thing was I ended up after 2 miles, I sensed I was running a pace alongside a gentleman and a woman who seemed to know each other. He had a long stride. His cadence was definitely slower than mine. He had a long stride, but it was very relaxed looking, and he looked real comfortable, and he had a Boston shirt on. So I feel like he's a guy with experience, and he's running a pace. And I was listening to my body, and I thought, you know, I think I can hold this pace with them to the really dark hours of the last 3 miles at least, and then I'll just do what I have to do. So that's what I did. I just really relaxed in my stride and tried to stay with this guy and this girl, and it was the three of us really kind of staying together right up through mile 9. And it was just cool. It was cool because one would kind of take a little bit of a lead and the others would follow and then would back off at a water station and another one would take over. And I don't know that they were aware that I was there. I like to, you know, we're all so egocentric. I like to believe that they knew I was running with them, but I can't really be sure of that. But it was fun to stay with them. And then at mile 9.5, I'm getting tired. I'm not sure I have the mental stamina to sustain that pace. And I think I'm going to probably start drifting behind these guys. Well, just as I thought that, they started to kind of fall back a little bit, just a little bit. And I started to feel real kind of comfortable then at that very moment. And I looked ahead of me, and this was the straightest, longest section of the race. It went about, I'm going to say, 3/4 of a mile in a straight line on a wide street, and I could see to that far end of it. And it was slightly downhill, very, very slightly downhill, and I just kind of opened up. I opened up a little bit, and I breathed. I got my breathing under control. I tried to go a little deeper with my breathing and relax my legs and open the stride up a little bit. And I'll have to check my numbers out and see if that mile was slightly faster than the couple before it. I think that probably was. And so I extended out in front of them and I just said, okay, I'm going to do this until I get to the end of that road. That was my next goal. When I get to the end of that 3/4 of a mile, then I'll determine what I have to do for the last 2 miles of this race, you know, 2 or 3 miles of the race. Well, I got there and yeah, I probably pulled back a bit. I did bring my stride back in a little, and then it was just a matter of maintaining and hoping to see that next mile marker one after the other as soon as possible. And the rest of the race was just It was great. I tried to force a smile, and I smiled to a couple people on the side there, just keeping myself a positive attitude the best I could. And next thing you know, coming around the corner, there was the finish line, and I couldn't push. I wanted to be able to push at the end. I didn't even do it. I just held on to that pace, maybe even faltered slightly in the last 100 yards or so, and got across that finish line. And I knew I was at a faster pace because I had run an 8-minute 13 pace average in the Ocean City, New Jersey marathon. I knew that I was averaging faster than that because most of the times when I looked down at my watch, my last lap average was constantly between 7:55 and 8:15. And I knew it was going to be a better average. And sure enough, so I finished at 1:46:19 or something like that. And that's an 8:07 pace. See, I love the numbers. I love gauging my success in a run by all the numbers. I just love that. And so it was fun to see that that I had improved even from last week. Maybe not having the hill helped. I think pressing, having people to stay with helped me in that case. And I think the less wind, and it was better running conditions. It was low 50s the entire time and overcast. So it was probably ideal running conditions. So I finished strong. My body feels just like it did last weekend after the race. I know this is a long report, but I did have to squeeze two reports into one. So you guys have to deal with it. And we'll move on to the next guy. It's just fun to share again with you, and I'm anxious to hear some race reports from people because I got to figure out where I want to run next year. And as I predicted when I first told you that the sunset was beautiful here, it is continuing to amaze me. Again, this is October 4th, and this is Dwayne signing out. Let's hear how things are going for everybody else. Okay, thanks, guys.
Greetings, Kevin and fellow Extra Mile Podcast listeners. This is Jim. I'm a wuss from south of Council Bluffs, Iowa, checking in. Good one, Kevin. Good one. But I am a wuss. Hey, it was cold this morning. 40 degrees. Hat, gloves, two shirts. I still wear the shorts, but anyway, checking in. It is October 2nd, Friday. Did a standard 7-miler this morning. Oh, just over a minute. I think it was over an hour and some seconds. So it was about an 8:40 average pace, which was just fine. First couple of miles, 40 degrees with that north wind was a little tough. But as you have pointed out, I'm a wuss. Anyway, like always, not a whole lot to report. Just doing my 7-milers, doing bike miles on the bike trainer now because it's just too cold on a bike. You got that wind chill. If a guy wanted to ride slow on a bike in cold weather, you could get away with it. But when you try to ride fast because you want to get your cardiovascular going, you have definite wind chill, and I get cold. So downstairs on the bike trainer, going nowhere. But other than that, not a whole lot other things to report. Listen to the latest Kevin Unplugged. The only thing I remember about it, that's how remarkable it was, Kevin. The only thing I remember about it was the Buckeye fight song or whatever the hell you call it at the end. I had to listen to that. Come on, you're killing me. You're killing me. But other than that, like I said, I'm about as boring as they get. After running, this is my 40th year, so you kind of get into a habit of doing what you do, and you don't get out of that habit. It becomes an obsession. You know, if you get injured or if you skip a day here or skip a day there, you feel bad. You feel like you're cheating. And I guess that's the sign of a real runner. You know you're a runner when you feel guilty if you miss a run. You know you're a runner if you stub your toe, and immediately you think, how's that going to affect my run? You know you're a runner if you get a little twinge here or there, a little ache, a little pain, and you immediately think, is that going to affect my run? I guess that's when you know you're a runner. And, you listen to a lot of podcasts and you read articles in running magazines, and you hear a lot of people, they start and they stop, and 10 years later they pick it back up again, or they take 4 or 5 months off and I'm going to get back into it. And I have never been able to understand that, but again, I'm, as my wife would say, I'm OCD, obsessive compulsion disorder. And when it comes to running and exercise, I guess I am, but it's worked. Just recently, we got a new doctor, family doctor, because our other one retired. So you go in, you really don't know the guy, and you're introducing yourself. He's introducing himself, and, I weigh 130-some pounds dressed, and I said, what do you know about knees? And he goes, well, I know a lot. What do you want to know? And I said, well, I had this pain, right here on this knee. And, it did bother me this past summer. And anyway, his diagnosis was it was a meniscus. And I said, well, obviously I tried to stop running, but I can't. You can always tell a runner, you just can't tell him much. And, basically he said, you have to stop running and let it heal. And, probably by cutting back what I did, running a lot less miles for a month there, he says it eventually will kind of heal itself. He says if it keeps becoming a problem, then you have to go in there and trim it. Well, that's the last thing I want to do. But anyway, the nurse takes your blood pressure. They weigh 130 some pounds, and blood pressure down, so low that, I think the pulse was 43, I think. And bottom line is the new doctor says, just keep doing what you're doing, and that's kind of what the old doctor said. And that's what I've been doing for 40 years. I've just been doing what I'm doing, watching, I don't watch what I eat. I never have watched what I eat. If people saw my diet, they would be shocked. But I burn a lot of calories and do a lot of exercise. And, at 64 going on 65, I can go out and I can do anything I want to do. No different than 20, 30 years ago, I feel like. I mean, it just works, So when people see me, on the trail, what are you training for? I always tell them. I always have them training for life. It's kind of interesting. What's today? Friday. So Wednesday I ran, and I'm finishing up my 7 miler. And there's a guy starting right. I got about a quarter mile to go. I cross a road that intersects with the trail, and this young guy. I mean, he's a young guy. He's just starting running, and he's got a pair of shoes on, of course, and he's carrying a pair of running shoes. So I come up by him and he's just starting. And I said, what's with carrying the extra pair of shoes? And he goes, well, he said, I'm just warming up. And I said, you're creating cross country, right? And he goes, yeah. And I go, how far today? And he goes, 12. I go, well, good for you. And, so I'm running, and I did about a quarter mile with him before my run was over with. And I told him, I said, dude, this is comical. I said, you're warming up and I'm getting close to red line trying to keep up with you, to the point where I could hardly talk to him. But, I said, hey, young leg, young heart. I remember when. Good for you. So I told him to look out for the walnuts, because the trail is full of walnuts. Walnut trees drop them big walnuts, and then the leaves are starting to fall, and those walnuts kind of get camouflaged. And I think twice in all the years I've run on this trail, about 15 years now, I've gone down, actually, you know, sprained an ankle and gone down to the ground by stepping on a walnut. So, I told him while we were running that quarter mile, I said, watch out for the walnuts. And he goes, oh, yeah. They had a guy on their team hit one on a training run and actually broke his foot. And so he has to do a medical red shirt. And he said they had a girl twisted an ankle really bad. You know, so somewhere along the line, I'm thinking, well, you know, you got to kind of weigh the benefits against the, you know, the downside of possibly coming over here and running on this trail. I mean, it's a great place to run, no doubt about it. Surface is great. And, you know, you're in the summertime, you're in a canopy of trees the whole time out of the sun. You've got hills, you've got flats, you've got everything on this trail over here. But I don't know. I think if I was a competitive runner, you know, this time of year when those walnuts are falling, man, I'm thinking I'd stay off of that thing. But what the heck do I know? Like I say, you can always tell a runner. You just can't tell him much. But I've been rambling enough, Kevin. I'll get this sent to you. Today I got to mow grass. Got 2 acres of grass I got to mow, so I'll be doing that. Probably check in next week. I listened to the last Extra Mile podcast, and God, I think I was on there 3 or 4 times. That's too much. You know, that's too much. Don't be afraid to take these submissions of mine and maybe throw them in the garbage can. I mean, you don't have to put me on there that much if you don't want to. But, you know, I think the last time I did a submission, I suggested that you get the running mafia after a few people. And there was another one that I thought of is Krister over in Sweden, eh? I haven't heard from him on the Extra Mile podcast. He gets one of his own out, you know, every 6 months. But Krister, come on, off the ball, get off the snide, get on the ball, and let's do a submission. Come on. You know, us old timers who've been around since episode one, we kind of like to hear some of them old voices. And it's always great to hear the new ones. You know, that's great, because that's what's going to keep this thing going, you know, for another, you know, couple hundred episodes, which I hope it does. So I'll shut up, get out of here, get this sent off. Hope your Buckeyes do well this weekend. Kevin, how can they not? I think they're playing. Who are they playing? Indiana or somebody? I don't know. But anyway, that's it. I'm out of here. Everybody stay safe, be careful, enjoy your fall, best time of year for running. Talk to you all later. Jim from South of Council Bluffs, Iowa. Check it out. Bye.
Hey, Kevin and all you Extra Milers. This is Dr. Amanda from Valhalla, New York, calling with a race report. Today is Monday, October 5th, and this past weekend I was up in the area of Concord, New Hampshire for the New Hampshire Marathon. I actually ran the half, but was with a group of people, some of whom ran the full and some of whom ran the half. I was pretty lucky to be invited to this weekend. I have some friends who are doing all 50 states for full marathons, and this was the weekend they chose to do the New Hampshire Marathon, and I was available to come up and join them for some fun. We were really lucky because the projections originally were for cold and rain, and instead we had just beautiful, beautiful weather. The race takes place in the suburbs of Concord, New Hampshire, although Concord's a pretty small town for a New Yorker like me. The leaves were just stunning, and the race is around Newfound Lake, so the views were just beautiful. Both the marathon and the half marathon have quite hilly courses. I knew the marathon was very hilly. I was a little surprised by how hilly the half marathon was. This was a fairly small race, well under 1,000 runners for when you combined both races. There was no chip time, only gun time, as there was no timing mat at the start. The half marathon was a point-to-point, so we went to the middle school gym, picked up our race bibs the morning of the race, hopped on a yellow school bus that drove us to the starting line, and we finished back at the middle school. The race was really well done. Everyone was super friendly and nice. Met a lot of 50 state half marathoners on the course, many of whom were doing the back-to-back since the main marathon was the following day. I ran with a really good friend. I had several other really close friends running the half, so we were able to hang out at the finish line and cheer. They had great post-race refreshments, hot pizza, chocolate milk, all sorts of snack bars, water, Gatorade. Really, this was a really nice small-town marathon and half marathon. I was not running the race for time. I was running to enjoy my friends, and we just had a wonderful weekend. Really a beautiful race, nice people, good times, just overall fun. In 2 weeks, I'm going to be running the Sleepy Hollow 10K. Apparently, they start the race with the Headless Horseman. Costumes are encouraged. It's another very hilly 10K, but should be a good time. And then I'm looking towards probably a December goal half marathon. Haven't signed up for anything yet, but likely the Frozen Bonsai Half Marathon in New York City. We'll see what happens. That's it for me. I hope everyone else is enjoying their extra mile. Take care.
Hey, Kevin and all you extra milers. This is Tim Cleary from Signal Mountain. Just want to let you all know my son, Dad, and I all ran the Quad Cities Marathon or Half Marathon on the 27th of September and had a good time. It ended up being a tough race. It warmed up in the afternoon and you know, in the second half of the race, and certainly felt it and contributed to me slowing down a good bit on the second half. But overall, we enjoyed it. Good support, good race support. Water stops everywhere. And I definitely recommend that if you want to get a good view of four different cities running up and down the Mississippi River. You go through Moline, Bettendorf, Davenport, and Rock Island. So they do a good job up there. Pretty small race. We're like 600 marathoners, 1,500 half marathoners, and then a large and under 1,000 people doing relays. So you always, even though there were only 600 doing the full, there were always relay people with you on the second half. So, you know, you didn't ever feel like you were on your own. But we really enjoyed it, and got Iowa, Illinois out of the way now. Haven't decided what the next race is going to be. We've got other than the Galloway, and we're signed up for that. So we'll see you guys, and hopefully you'll see a lot more extra milers down there. Take care. Bye.
Greetings, Kevin, and fellow Extra Mile podcast listeners. Once again, Jim from south of Council Bluffs, Iowa, checking in. It is the 8th of October, Thursday, and drove to the trailhead today so I could run what I call the flats and get off the hills. So today was a little more up-tempo because I ran the flats, and really pleased with the run. 8:26 average pace for 7 miles, 59 minutes right to the second, which has been quite a while since I've been able to get down into that range. I think the last mile was 7:28, and I haven't seen a 7:28 in a while, so probably end up messing my knee up again. But you know, it's nice to be able to do that, because as you get older, you recall the days when you could do that all the time, and you know, every now and then you crack off a good mile or a good run, and you're appreciative, I guess, of the fact that you've spent your life running, exercising, and can still do it every now and then. There's no question that as you get older, you slow down. This past weekend, I had a guy come into town, old coal worker from back in the 70s, and who is now, he was just retired. He was in Minneapolis, and he was driving through on his way home to San Antonio, and he was an analyst with the FBI, and he's retiring now, but known him for 40 years, have run with him for many years. And another guy who we run with, who we used to run with quite often, but you know, we kind of all have separated. I moved over to Iowa. The other guy, you know, San Antonio, and our other guy, he's out in West Omaha. So we, you know, we don't get together all that often anymore. But we call ourselves Team SAP, S-A-P. Long story, not worth going into. But it was kind of nice. Sunday we got to all run together for the first time. We do it maybe two or three times a year. We get together and we get to run, and you know, it's nice to kind of reminisce about the old days when we used to be fast. Big SAP, the founder of SAP, you know, he's run marathons in the two. He's about 70 years old now, and every now and then he'll still crack off some pretty good times. It's a lot slower, obviously, but the other guy has some back problems and some structural problems, so he's really struggling. But he's qualified and run Boston a half a dozen times or more. So, you know, it's tough to see him struggle as he gets older. But one observation that he made was that, you know, you slow down as you get older. And then you wonder, why is that? You know, well, obviously your maximum heart rate decreases as you age, so you're not able to take it up as high as when you were younger. But the other thing is if you pay attention to leg turnover, you know, roughly about 90 a minute on your leg turnover. And, you know, that doesn't change. It doesn't seem like that doesn't change. You know, my leg turnover now is the same as it was, you know, 20 years ago when I was doing my faster stuff. So obviously what it is the loss of muscle. You know, as you age, you lose muscle. And so you've got the same turnover, but you have less push-off, meaning you're probably not covering as great a distance with each one of those 90 steps. So, you know, we were talking about things like that. That's what old people do, you know. So, anyway, fun getting together with Team SAP. And it is kind of funny. We say we get together and run, but we all... We start at the same time, but immediately we separate ourselves. I generally always start fast. The other guys kind of start slow. One guy who, it's Big Sap, always does 10 miles, so he goes out to 5. I like to stay on the flats from the trailhead, so, you know, I'm going out 2.5 and back and repeating that to stay on the flats. And the other guy, he's, you know, he's got some real... structural problem, so he's extremely slow. So we say we run together, but we don't. We start together, we talk beforehand, and we get together afterwards and go to Panera's or somewhere and talk. But the actual running, we're never together anymore. That's the way it goes. But I, as usual, digress. Just wanted to touch base, see what was going on with the world. Hope everybody is doing well. I guess this is fall race time for a lot of people. It's getting a little bit of a warm-up here in the Midwest. It was beautiful, cool weather for quite some time, but we've got about a week of warm weather, and then it'll probably start cooling down again. I think it's supposed to be 85 come Sunday. So Sunday morning's run, depending on the temperature, could be a little tougher, but that's the way it is. But what the heck, when you're only training for old age and life, you don't have to worry about, you know, speed work, stuff like that. Anyway, hope everybody's doing well. Stay safe. Have a good fall. Check in as I go along. Hunting season's going to be starting soon, so I will, you know, start to back down a little bit. And Buckeyes keep winning. Huskers keep losing. What can I say, Kevin? You're talking about planting your Buckeye tree. I don't know if it was on the Extra Mile or one of your, you know, Kevin Unplugged episodes, but you talk about planting a Buckeye tree. And my wife used to volunteer with a guy from Ohio. Brought her a Ziploc bag full of great big old Buckeyes once. And I think we probably got rid of them all. I think we kept two or three because the guy has since died, and we kind of wanted to keep a couple as a remembrance of him. So I've got a couple of Buckeyes, and I don't have a Buckeye tree. Anyway, I digress again. I'll get out of here. 7 minutes is too long to listen to this old fart. Talk to y'all later. Jim from South of Council Bluffs talking to you. Later. Bye.
Well, there you go, episode 141 of the Extra Mile Podcast. One of the things that I forgot to mention at the beginning, as I was blabbing on and taking up way too much time, was that one of the things that I've noticed while I've been out running that I'm really, really trying to work on pretty hard is my running form, or my posture while I run. One of the things I know that I do, oh, my neighbors are putting out all the Halloween stuff. My kids are hoping you're doing the garage this year, probably. Yeah. You coming back, is it?
Coming back.
Oh, they'll be pumped. Good for you. I have these neighbors that go crazy at Halloween, and they turn their garage into a haunted house, and it's amazing. They haven't done it for the last 2 years, I think, but I guess it's coming back. They'll be pumped about that. Anyway, let's see, what was I just talking about? My posture. One of the things I know I do that hurts me is I lean forward way, way, way too much, to the point that I think of all the things I do wrong, that's the biggest one that leads to, or has led to, some lower back pain that I've had in the past couple of months. It's not terrible, and I've started trying to do some stretching that has helped. I have had to take a few days off running because of it, but I'm really curious about a couple of things. First, what is the best posture? And secondly, I'm a little flummoxed. Yeah, I used the word flummox in my podcast. I'm a little bit confused whether or not your posture is something you can really change. You know what I mean? I've heard people talk about, oh, you shouldn't be a heel striker, try to do this, land on your forefoot, land in the midfoot, blah, blah, blah. But I've also heard people say, you can't change that. So what I've tried to do very consciously in the last couple weeks is to run as straight up as I can. Mr. Galloway recommends you envision yourself as being a puppet on a string, hanging straight down, keeping your feet very low to the ground, kind of shuffling, which I think I do, but I still lean forward at the waist quite a bit. So, being very selfish about it, that's gonna be one of the major topics I hit in my next conversation with Mr. Galloway, which, by the way, will happen in a few short days. So if you're at all interested in that topic, I'll invite you to check out the next episode of that Galloway thing I do. I say it's a selfish thought only because it's an idea or it's a topic I really need help on. But I'm not alone. I'm sure several of you would like to know too, but anyway, I forgot to mention that. I thought I'd bring that back up. What do you guys think about posture? Do you have the right running form? What do you think it is? And more importantly, if you've had the wrong running form in the past, have you corrected that? And do you think that's even correctable? Let me know. What else? Some good stuff in today's episode. I wanted to point out that, once again, you're all making me jealous with all of your race reports. Jim the Wuss. I did want to point this out. Jim's a great, great guy, and I would not have quote-unquote made fun like I did or ribbed him a little bit if I didn't know him real well. And so when Jim says he's been around since day one, he doesn't mean that he's been listening for a long time. What he means is he's been around since day one. Like episode one of this podcast, Jim's been listening. So Jim and I are friends from way, way back. In fact, if you went back and listened to some of those earlier episodes, you'd not only hear many of his submissions, I believe you'd also hear one entire episode where he was the guest host. And if I'm not mistaken, he's the only person to ever guest host this podcast other than me. So he knows when I call him Jim the Wuss, I really mean Jim, my friend. And speaking of those older episodes, I hosted this podcast for several years at a site that's no longer available. Honestly, I can't even remember the name of it. It was big back in the day. But they just went belly up. And the result, one of the results of that was that episode 1 through about 75, I think, are not available at the website. So if you go way back in the early entries and try to click on and listen to, say, episode 1 or any of them, 1 through 30 or 75, you won't get it. And that's because they're just not out in the cloud anywhere anymore. I have them, though. And if I would ever get off my lazy butt and put in the amount of work needed to upload those to a new site, I think some of you would get a kick out of some of that earlier stuff. And I'll try to get that done. I just thought of that because I was talking about those early episodes with Jim. And while I'm talking about Jim, he mentions wanting to hear from Krister over in Sweden. Krister does a great podcast called Running the Narrow Path. And he's a buddy from way back as well. Well, Jimbo, he has put one or two of his own podcasts out. I'm assuming you're hearing those. He hasn't submitted to this one for a while. But I'm pretty sure I'm going to be having some sort of updates from him shortly because he's coming to Atlanta. Yeah, all the way from Sweden. He's coming to be part of this meetup and run the Jeff Galloway 13.1 with us. Pretty cool, huh? So Jim, Mr. Retired guy with enough time to somehow run 10 miles a day and cycle 30 because you're retired and training for life. I haven't heard you talk about getting to Atlanta. What's up with that?
you calling people out on my show. I'm calling you out, buddy. Get on the internet and see how much it's going to cost to fly to Atlanta, huh? Come on, just do it. And that goes for the rest of you, too. That's about all I got for today. Thanks for downloading the show and giving us the last hour plus of your lives. Thanks for everyone who submitted and let us know what's going on in your lives. It helps a lot. Y'all have a good next couple of weeks of training. And until we speak again, y'all enjoy your extra mile.
Thanks for joining us on the Extra Mile Podcast. Please visit our website at www.theextramilepodcast.com to see the show notes for this episode of the podcast. You can email us with your feedback about the show at theextramilepodcast@gmail.com. And if you'd like to send us your audio comments to let us know how your training is going, then please send an audio file to theextramilepodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks very much for downloading the show, and we look forward to joining you again soon on the next edition of the Extra Mile Podcast.